Hello, listeners. You're very welcome once again to this, the iWin podcast. Today, I'm talking to Eugene Lynch and Pat O'Callaghan of ECT Adhesive Solutions. So, guys, Pat, Eugene, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem. Delighted that you could take the time to talk to me today. We're just going to talk about adhesives as they pertain to the joinery and woodworking industry. What aspects of the joinery and upholstery industry do adhesives play a role in? Where do they fit into the overall sort of matrix?
Okay. I suppose adhesives play quite a significant role in the creation of most modern furniture pieces and upholstery products. And there's quite a lot of processes involved within the industry, within different customers, like veneering and lamination, edge banding, profile wrapping, post-forming adhesives, doweling, and just general benchtop type of stuff that guys would use on the factory floor. And then various other adhesives that would be used for the installation and fit out of the furniture when these companies go to site to conduct their work. Each of these processes will use various adhesives and different chemistries in different package sizes, and depending on various factors like the nature of the product and material that the customer is actually using, the equipment that the operator may have available to them at any one point in time. And then another important factor is the location and the environment into which the final product is actually going to be placed, as to whether it's a dry environment, where there's a lot of moisture or whatever.
Okay, and can you talk us through then some of these processes and give an indication of what adhesive options would be suitable and maybe some of the reasons around that? I mean, you've mentioned moisture there, for example, but there's obviously more to it than just that.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, I suppose if we look through some of the different processes that I mentioned above, and we take veneering, for example, which effectively is a process of adding a small decorative layer onto the surface of any piece of furniture so as to improve the aesthetics of the finished product. Generally, that decorative layer may itself be slices or sheets of wood, very, very thin, which are glued to a core panel. The core panel itself being manufactured from something that's cheaper and quite durable, such as MDF. The veneer may show maybe a wood grain effect and give the impression of a material like oak or mahogany or walnut or whatever, so effectively improving the aesthetics of the final material. And regularly, these veneers are bonded to the core using PVA or polyvinyl acetate, which is what we normally look on as white wood glue. That's kind of a water-based adhesive, and it's very easy to handle, and it spreads quite easily across the core material. And we supply that in various different formats, and we also supply the adhesive spreaders and the rollers for applying that from a company called Pizzi. However, because it's water-based, it will take some time to dry. So in order to cure it, the operator will maybe generally use a heated press so as to speed the process up. PVA itself, it's quite an inexpensive adhesive, but it has its limitations. For example, the standard one that you would see in most places would be referred to as D3 PVA. And that is not really suitable for use on products that will be exposed to high levels of moisture. Moisture will soften the bond and eventually cause the separation of the veneer itself. So for applications like that, you'd need to consider something that would be rated as a D4 type adhesive. Then another issue arises when you're using standard D3 PVA is that, given that it's water-based, if you want to paint that veneer, then you need to avoid water-based paints, because the water in the paint can penetrate the thin veneers and in return soften the bond line. And another issue can arise quite often is that with these very thin veneers, you get what we call bleed through. So for example, when the PVA passes through the pores of the veneer, and if it's not washed off quite quickly, then it'll dry to give like a shine on the exterior of the product, which becomes very noticeable, especially if you try to varnish it or paint it. So it becomes shiny, so you need to clear it off very, very fast. We, as a result of working with companies like Yovat, will supply an adhesive, a particular grade of adhesive that has blockers input into it, and it prevents some of the adhesive bleeding through the thin veneers. So it helps with that sort of an issue. To overcome the issues with water-based PVAs, when veneering with thin layers of wood veneer, one can consider some maybe two-part UF or thermosetting adhesives, such as those applied through ourselves from a company like Akzo Nobel. These types of products are much faster and can be either hot or cold pressed. They can be painted using water-based products. However, one issue with these is the level of formaldehyde that some of these products may contain. But thankfully, Akzo themselves have a zero formaldehyde option available, which we presently supply to many different customers here throughout the Irish market. Maybe when you're examining, say, the process of lamination, contact adhesives are another one that will be regularly at the forefront. And these can be supplied in either liquid format, whereby the operator can simply apply using a brush, or they can use a pneumatic compressor with a gun spray. And then there's also various contact adhesives supplied in the pressurized canisters, typically 17 kilogram type canisters with a gun and a hose, and we supply all those. The operator effectively applies the adhesive to both substrates, because it's a contact adhesive, allows it to dry a little bit, or tack off as they call it, before bringing both substrates together. The process is pretty straightforward with very low capital investment, and we ourselves can supply both the adhesives and the various equipment that might be required. However, the operator has to be careful when bringing the substrates together so as to align them accurately, because once they make contact, as the name suggests, contact adhesives, then there's no chance of moving them around to realign the materials afterwards. The bond is instant. The pressurized canisters, like the Tussbond range, will come out in either a web spray or in a pebble or a mist spray when you're applying it. Most people use in the form of a web spray, but many products nowadays do use high gloss laminates. And for these, it would be best to work with what we refer to as a pebble spray product as opposed to the web spray pattern. And this minimizes the risk of the web pattern becoming visible through the laminate material, especially in areas where there's LED lights being used. And LED lights are being used much more frequently nowadays. And it wouldn't be nice to see the grain of the web of the adhesive penetrating through the actual laminate material itself. So we supply products like Tussbond HGL 100, which is high gloss laminate 100. And it's a perfect solution for what was an age-old problem. But with contact adhesives, the operator has to be careful to allow enough time for the adhesive to be touch dry before bringing the substrates together, and then position them correctly and apply sufficient pressure, maybe using something like a nip roller, so as to prevent bubbles in the bond line. Some customers will operate PUR hot melts, for example, for flat lamination, and would have relevant equipment in place to work at high-speed production lines. PUR, or polyurethane hot melt systems, they offer excellent adhesion to difficult-to-bond substrates and offer superior long-term durability to the end product. For high gloss foils and thermoplastics, PUR hot melts can be an excellent choice, but require capital investment. So there's a balance to be taken there. So another niche area within the lamination is the whole process of post-forming, whereby laminates are applied to plywood, MDF, or some other substrate with specially formed edges, and the laminate is rolled over the edge so as to create a single, like, unbroken laminate face, giving a nice rounded bull nose finish. The most common example of that would be your countertop, or cubicle doors would be another common area that you see that. Traditionally, this process has been done by solvent-based contact adhesives, but people are now moving to laminate these using substances like PVAC dispersions or PUR hot melts, which are more environmentally friendly options, and they offer better temperature resistance as well. Then the other area then will be the border kind of between the edge and the coating on the underside can also be sealed with a PUR hot melt adhesive to improve moisture resistance of the product. Very important in the countertops for kitchens and bathrooms where there's a lot of moisture. So you have water running over the corner of the sink and it drips down underneath. And over time, it can eat away into the uncured surface of the chipboard, probably on the underneath. That's why we go that particular route. Then another very important area within the lamination is the whole process of 3D lamination, mainly for the production of furniture fronts like doors and panels used in kitchens and bedroom units. There they will be using PVC foils. In this area, we would supply polyurethane dispersion adhesives. They're known as PUDs, and products from companies like Yovat, such as their 150.93. Effectively here, you will need equipment and specialized equipment for it, but the PUD is sprayed onto the base or the core substrate. It's left to dry. And then a short time later, it's reactivated with heat. PUDs are either vacuum or done by membrane pressing. Vacuum pressing is done by heating the overlay and then creating bottom vacuum pressure to form the laminate material over the part. The heat and the vacuum pressure create intimate contact between the part and the laminate material and then activates the adhesive. Once this process is complete, then the part is just trimmed off and it's ready to process further. The finish is excellent, in fairness, and very, very long lasting, very durable. But it does require quite a significant capital investment, coupled with, at the end of the day, you need to have the volume throughput, because the shelf life on that adhesive, those PUD adhesives, is quite short. So you do need to be turning the product quite fast. I suppose that's just a general overview on that.
I'm just wondering, when you are out on the road, do you go visiting businesses and advising them about which would be the best products to use? You know, because do they come to you or do they ring you up and say, could you come and have a look at this for us? Or what way does that work?
I suppose, William, it's a combination, really. Obviously, sometimes we will have inquiries, people will ring us up or people will come to us from our website. But we're also regularly calling out to our customers, be it existing customers or people that we would like to do some business with in the future. And we like to help them with their process. We like to, I suppose, get involved, get down on the floor, see exactly what they're trying to achieve, and run through the process with them. Because a lot, as Eugene had said earlier, a lot of things are very traditional in the joinery industry. A lot of people are using adhesives that they've used maybe since they did their apprenticeship years ago. And there's a lot of new products out there. So it's helpful for us to meet with people, go through their process and suggest something that might be a little change from what they're currently using, but it might help them speed up the process or it might help them make the product a bit more cost effective.
Okay, and just in relation to that, I mean, there does appear to be quite an amount of processes and adhesives involved in the manufacture of modern furniture. And just when you're talking about the guys have been using glue, you know, since the year dot, and they haven't changed because they're not particularly knowledgeable maybe about this sort of thing. I was recently with a friend of mine going looking at new houses. Just he was thinking he might get a nicer house for himself with a couple of extra kids. He thought maybe it's time to get a bigger house. And one thing I noticed just going around a couple of them was that these new homes, they seem to be fitted with skirting board and architrave or cornice rail. And it appears to have a coating of some form. And it can be bought in various colours or wood grain effect. I mean, how does that work? It seems to save you having to paint and varnish it to get the right colour at the end. Is this something that's being done with adhesives or is this paint-based?
Yes, William. This is what we refer to as profile wrapping. And yes, it's ideal for your friends' kids because they can paint over some of these materials and it's a lot easier for the house owner to clean off afterwards. So how these products are made is that we have a piece of MDF or plastic or aluminium that's machined out to make a certain profile. And then with the use of PUR hot melt adhesives, we can run it through a machine similar to an edge banding machine and bond on these vinyls and plastics onto it.
Okay. Well, it's all very interesting. Things keep changing, don't they? We keep getting more and more modern, you know. Just another area where I'd assume that adhesives would play a significant role would be in the likes of edge banding. So maybe one of you could give us some insight into this and what the products and processes are involved.
Yeah, okay. Edge banding, in fairness, will be quite a large section of our business, and we would supply predominantly three different chemistries in that area: EVA, which is a traditional product, polyolefin, and then polyurethane adhesives. Along with that, we also supply the REPE release agents and cleaning fluids that are quite regularly built onto the edge banding equipment and machinery. REPE solutions are the product of choice for predominantly for all leading manufacturers of edge banders, like the HOMAG or EMA, Biesi, Holzer, Ott, SCM, and so on and so forth. So we in ECT adhesives, we're the REPE representative here in Ireland, and we can work with customers to either install the solutions on their equipment if they were not factory fitted, or we can arrange for additional lines and spray valves to be fitted and arrange the general service of the installed equipment. But going back to the process of edge banding itself, EVA hot melts, they are the most popular in the marketplace and are perfect in most situations. However, if the end product is going to be subject to high heat or high levels of moisture, then the producer needs to consider working with like a polyurethane hot melt. Or if they have not sufficient levels of work for using PUR on a continuous basis, then they can consider moving to a halfway stage and work with products like the polyolefin adhesives. These could offer better maybe temperature resistance over traditional EVAs. So it's a halfway house. With regard to the use of PUR, the operator will have to remember that it's very, very important to flush out the system using a proper flushing agent such as Yovat 93094. That's a red product in itself, so it's easy to see. And at least it's easy for the operator to see it when the PUR itself has been flushed right through the system. It's good maintenance practice anyway to do that on a reasonably regular basis. Hot melts are available in a variety of formats, and the most common one would be granular, like small little beads. We have granular options for the EVAs and for the PURs. Slugs, or as some people call them, candles, are more commonly found in the polyurethane applications, and they would typically be 1.5 to 2.5 kilogram type sizes. However, some options are available in 20 kilogram wraps, and we also have available PU hot melt, which comes in a 205-liter barrel, and it's for predominantly for specific applications. But you know, there are various sizes. There's also specific EVA and PUR slugs for the Holzer machines, which we stock, and these are much smaller, generally about 330 grams. Another option that we supply is a PUR hot melt in a tube, kind of like a silicone tube. And that is used on certain Holzer machines. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of people involved in the whole edge banding area. It's the part that finishes it off and, you know, makes the final product, hides the edge of the raw core material that is there. And it does need to blend in with the face of the product itself, and is a very, very important part to our business.
Just following on from that, I know that doweling forms an important part of the furniture assembly, and I've done some assembly jobs at home myself, you know, using the small dab of whatever that white adhesive is and manually inserting the dowels to the furniture panel. I presume that this is something that's more automated in a furniture manufacturing situation, and that there's different adhesives for the application. I mean, again, there's a broader application of adhesives in industrial rather than me at home assembling a small piece of furniture, you know?
Yeah, yes. Dowling is a process that involves the use of PVAC dispersion. So basically white glues of different viscosities. And in the industrial side of things, people would usually use pneumatic dowling inserting machines. Dowling is a little bit different to the other adhesives we use, whereby normally we're trying to dry out the water out of the adhesive and get the adhesive to bond. The way we work with dowels is the water in the adhesive actually absorbs into the beach dowel, makes the dowel swell up and fill the pre-drilled hole. And then over time, as the water dries out of the adhesive actually bonds the substrates together. So it's a little bit of a unique application in the joinery industry for adhesives. Typically, we supply two different types of viscosity of adhesives for doweling. One is a lower viscosity for horizontal application, and then we also do a higher viscosity version, which would be for vertical and for overhead application. We work with a company called Pizzi, who supply some pneumatic doweling inserting machines as well.
Okay, thank you for that. It is all very interesting, so I'm glad that I'm talking to you today. Following on from that then, are there any challenges or difficulties facing the adhesives industry which could cause concern to IWIN members or even require changes in practice for the industry going forward?
Yeah, okay. Well, I suppose there's always challenges in every industry, and the adhesives and joinery is no exception to that. Over the past couple of years, probably the main problem has been availability and the pricing of the products. But thankfully, that seems to be easing a little bit at the present, with products becoming more readily available and pricing starting to steady up in certain chemistries. However, solvented products do appear to be under some pricing pressures at the moment. Health and safety regulations, they're always under review, as we know, and they cause challenges on a continuous basis. Years ago, people were very comfortable using traditional products such as Cascomite, which was basically a powder to which you added water to make the adhesive. Great adhesive, in fairness, and produced really long-lasting bonds. But over time, concerns were raised about it being a possible carcinogen, and people began to move away from it to other options such as PVAs and thermosetting adhesives or polyurethanes. In time, some of the thermosetting adhesives then, they began to come under review due to high levels of formaldehyde and the potential risk to both the health and the environment from maybe the wash off on the equipment after application. Some local authorities here in Ireland and the EPA are at present raising concerns around the use of such products with many of the customers that use them, and insisting that they move away from even low level formaldehyde to virtually zero level formaldehyde products, such as those available from AXA and their Ligna Pro range of products, which we ourselves do distribute to a number of customers. Especially larger clients, they're completing high levels of veneering on panels and doors and doing it at speed, so there's a lot of product going through the place. So if there's a lot of formaldehyde floating in the air, it is causing concern. There's a lot of wash off being washed and rinsed through stone baths and tanks and everything along those lines. But it does make its way to the water course, and that's where the EPA come into it. And they are looking at these things very, very carefully. And we are working with customers currently to help them out in that respect. Another area for concern has been the use of solvented products, especially in post-forming or lamination and in foam bonding sector. There's a lot of foam bonding here in the Irish market. Solvents pose a risk to health and safety, and their use really needs to be managed very carefully. In many cases, people have reached out to us to examine this and have moved over towards hot melts as options. And we've taken them through that process a number of times over the last number of years. At the moment, there's actually some new legislation coming into force from August of this year, and that's around the use of diisocyanates, which are typically found in all polyurethane-based products, as polyurethane liquids or hot melts or whatever form it may take. At the moment, all PU-containing products contain diisocyanate on the market and are labelled with a health warning, which is effectively like the image of a person's lungs. From the 24th of August this year, training will be required for all professional and industrial users of these products, with a total monomeric diisocyanate concentration of greater than 0.1%, which is quite small in fairness. But this PU training platform can be accessed from safeusediisocyanates.eu and is accessible right across the EU. Now, it's nothing to be really scared of, but there are different modules depending on the type of product and the package and the temperature at which the product is actually being used. So it's broken down into different categories. The training modules can vary within each customer. Now, what I mean by that is, for example, you have different people within each site. You have a store person, for example, and they just handle the stock. They don't get involved in actual touching or using the actual raw material itself. but that person will be required to complete one level of the training, while the operator may be required to complete a much different level of training. The courses, they're all online and they're quite short, predominantly 45 minutes to maybe an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half. And then most of them are costing around €5 per course. The training has to be done by the individual, not by the company. And there's a short questionnaire at the end. And the completion certificate is awarded to the individual, again, not the company. So the company employing the person will need to hold a record and a copy of the certificate, much in the same way that we do now at the moment with the Safe Pass. It's still in the person's name. And they'll need to record the date of completion, as most of these will only be valid for 5 years. Now, it will impact everybody, right from the store person to the operator, and even to the person that's maintaining the equipment that would use the adhesives itself. So the maintenance operator in that site or the maintenance contractor coming in will require to have the certificate. And it will be the company's responsibility to ensure that both the employee who's in maintenance and the contractor coming on site has the certificate. So there is a specific course tailored for the maintenance contractors. Now, the organization FICA, F-E-I-C-A, on their website, there is a voucher code which will give free of charge training for certain end users, such as a worker maybe on a construction site who uses small levels of polyurethane products from time to time, the occasional use of it, but not relevant for factory and site factory operations. The requirement for training goes beyond just the joinery, upholstery and furniture industry, as polyurethanes are used very, very widely throughout all different industry sectors, from floor coatings, roof repair, vehicle repair, crack injection resins, PU foam applications, insulation, and so on and so forth. For those that are involved with just using polyurethane hot melt products, there's the hot melts. Thankfully, there are some alternatives available from Yovat, known as monomer reduced PU hot melts, which perform in much the same manner as traditional PU hot melts. And if one moves to these products, then training of the operators or other staff, such as the stores personnel or operators of the equipment in close proximity to the equipment using the PUs, can be avoided, because there will not be a requirement on these products to have the warning symbols applied. For many people, moving to these monomer reduced PU hot melts will be the easiest and most sensible option for them. But there will be some people who use other products on the same site, so they'll have no alternative because there's no alternative available at the moment, so they will have to do the training and it will be a necessity. So further information is available from fica.eu, that's F-E-I-C-A.eu, and there's overview videos there of the training requirements that are available and guidance as to the exact courses that will be relevant for each operator. We will be assisting our customers through this process and be making further information available from our own website, www.ectadhesives.com. And we'll be using our social media platforms and that tools to educate the market and give further information there. So is that the current challenge?
Just on that, Eugene, when you're saying it back to me, it's a little bit to kind of take on. So this is what we're talking about, new regulation coming in 2023, which is this year, this August. And that's in relation to polyurethane products.
Correct.
And that will affect, obviously, some of the members of IWIN then who might be using these products in their factories, and then they'll have to make a switch over. Is that the kind of way we're talking?
Yeah, basically, you're in your polyurethanes, you have liquid forms and you have hot melt forms of polyurethane in use in many locations. For many of our IWIN members, if they're using hot melts, there will be options that will not necessitate training. The diisocyanate concentration in those will be below the 0.1% level. However, for other products that are above that level, yes, they will require training for each of their operators using those polyurethane products.
Okay, and Eugene. Yeah, no, thanks for clearing that up. It's just I find that what happens when I'm talking to people is that there's always regulations coming in every sector of the industry and things keep coming on top of us. So it's just to try and keep ourselves as informed as we can so we can keep ahead of everything, you know, because I mean, this is one thing. And then there's something else might come up in relation to health and safety or something else might come up in relation to, you know, sustainability. So it's just trying to make sure our members know which one of these things to be getting ahead of and when, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's great. I appreciate that.
Now this comes into effect, so it was in August of this year. So, you know, there are just 7-8 months to get themselves ready for that. And the training for each individual person when they do require it is an hour-ish thereabouts. And it can be done online from the comfort of their own home or in the office itself. So it's relatively easy to do. And I've done some of them myself. And there's a short questionnaire at the end based on what you've learned. But for most of the people that would be doing it, it's effectively stuff they already know predominantly.
Yeah, it's just to kind of trying to get the paperwork behind that then, isn't it?
So that paperwork behind it, and the company themselves that employ those people, they will need to keep a good record of it, because in 5 years' time, it'll have to be renewed, and probably, you know, their health and safety files will need to be expanded.
And also the last thing on that is that you said that it's like the safe pass insofar as that the paperwork follows the person. So if you're taking on a person, you could look for them to have this training done already. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to try and tie a few threads together there. Well, listen, Eugene and Pat O'Callaghan from ECT Adhesives. It's great that you took the time to talk to me today. I really appreciate you clarifying the few points from the layman's perspective, just to try and keep on top of everything. So I'll let you go, and thanks again. Much appreciated.
No problem. Thank you very much for having us. We are delighted to be here. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you very much, William. Thanks for your time.